Because we're here now.
We're here now.
We're here now. What can we do with this? We're supposed to learn from those who came before us. And those who came before us expect us to do better.
Right. Yeah. As you live your life on earth, struggle is certain. The question is, how do you plan to move through it? Do you plan to move with God, or do you plan to try to find your own way?
Can you imagine if we didn't have the story of the children of Israel? If we didn't know about those who were enslaved in Egypt?
Right.
We draw so much power and strength from that story. And there's a place here waiting for you. For your business,
yeah, we're on the Lord's time, sharing his love and his life. What's good, everybody? Welcome to Brothers in the Foyer podcast. My name is Crispin, and I'm here with our brothers Andrew and Isaiah as well. And today we have a special, special guest that we're excited for you to meet, the one and only Yehosh Bonner. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Absolutely. Yeah, before we get started, we want to always thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share everything about the podcast. Also, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Serve Clothing, as well. The shirts that they have are absolutely amazing. They are big back approved, so if you're up to 3X, trust me, it will fit you wonderfully. They're the shirts with the vents.
5X.
Oh, they go to 5X. Yeah, they go all the way up to 5X as well. So they're absolutely big back approved. I wear a 3X and I'm very large, as you can see. So trust me when I tell you those shirts are amazing. No matter what you're going to do, whether you're going to do a workout, they've got workout clothing for you, or going to church, going to business, or serving any kind of mission that you have, those clothes are definitely perfect for you. So shout out to Serve Clothing as well. But today, as we get into this this podcast and this wonderful person, first off, thank you for coming to the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You guys are doing some really, really cool things. And you guys are my friends, so how could I not come?
Thank you so much for coming out. So real quick, just to kind of get an idea of this gentleman right here, we go back quite a ways, and I know he goes back with each and every one of us, and we have an interesting backstory tied to this wonderful person right here. But Yehosh and I were teammates in college, and there are some stories that may or may not make it on this episode. But
well, there are definitely stories that will not make it.
That will not make it. But small fact, Yehosh is credited to my wife and I meeting, dating, and getting married. So he introduced us way back when, 2007, we were teammates, new teammates on the team. I walk into the gym. He had already been recruited, and I was walking on, and I hit the gym for the first time to kind of get a feel for everything. And I think I was singing a little something, and he was walking in with the team, and he was singing a little something. We kind of looked at each other, and we were like, "You sing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, a little bit."
Oh,
and he's,
man,
like, "Are you LDS?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I just got off my mission. I just got off my mission."
I think we jumped into each other's arms that moment.
It really was like it was really similar to that movie Step Brothers, where it was like we just rattled off things that we both had going on. We were like,
yep.
"Oh my God." And we've been friends ever since. Yeah. And shortly after that, he was invited on a group date. And my wife at the time, she had a date originally, but that fell through. And she was the one that kind of helped coordinate it. Yehosh is like, "I got this guy. He's amazing for you." Told her about me, and she came. We enjoyed it, and we've literally been together ever since. So, wow.
And you guys had met before, knew
briefly,
of each other.
Yeah, knew of each other, but had never really even had much of a conversation until then. And then she agreed to come out with me, and we've been together ever since. So, yeah, we go back. We got a little bit of a history, so it's great to have you on.
Thank you for not saying how far back. Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Just college, just roommates. College.
No one needs to know how much time. Yeah. But no, it's good. But another story, as far as with us as the brothers, Yehosh is actually the catalyst for us being here today. Yehosh knows each and every one of us. Yeah, in a roundabout way. He knows each and every one of us in our own right. And, you know, he had this inspired, I think, idea to just bring brothers together in the state of Utah so that we can just not only know of each other, but connect and hopefully build things, build relationships, and just form our own community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it started off with just, you know, getting together for lunch or getting together for a meal. And we'd all just kind of come, whoever could make it. And, you know, seven or eight of us got to chopping it up one day at a buffet. We won't shout out where because we may not go back. But we were chopping it up at this buffet and we realized we have something here with the group of guys that we are. And, you know, long story short, Brothers in the 4-Year Podcast was formed right there. So we thank you so much for your part in getting us together, because without that, we may not have. So we wanted to issue that thank you to you for sure.
Give me your flowers, brother.
Absolutely.
And I personally want to just thank you in general for being the human being that you are, man. You and your family have been just great examples, man, of faith and courage in this gospel. I know I text you time over when I'm just listening to your guys' music. The spirit that it brings, the inspiration behind it is just absolutely amazing. So for our audience that don't know, Yehosh and his family are amazing artists.
Absolutely.
Check them out, please. Their music is absolutely spiritual, inviting. So just thank you, man. Thank you.
I appreciate you. And I always, I mean, Isaiah, you're someone I can always call the night before, the morning of. I need you to be an actor. I need you to be a model in this. Can you help me out? Yeah, you know I ain't got no money. But hey, man, like, thank you. Like, you come and you show up and you support. And I appreciate that so much, man.
Of course, man.
Thank you.
I can second about the music side, because my kid, he loves, there's this one song. I think it's on one of the youth albums. Mm-hmm. Right, it's the One True Hope. One True Hope. My son loves that.
Boy, he got some good taste in music.
Absolutely, right?
No, man.
Absolutely.
He got the putting name. On the Google.
He got the name.
Plays it, bro. Man, he loves the music, bro. And yeah.
Crispin, you sung on the chorus on that, didn't you?
I did.
Chorus,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even know that.
A couple of, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Man, the credits aren't there, but it's all good. I'm joking.
That wasn't me. I was just a hired voice.
No, yeah. Absolutely. My kids love hearing this music too. Anytime it comes on, like, they know it so much now, they can hear it whether they're a part of me putting music on or not, and they'd be like, Uncle Yehosh. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's him. So, if you don't know his music by all means, check out not only his music, but the music from his family as well, the Bonner family. It can change your life, absolutely. It's definitely inviting when it comes to the spirit, and it definitely sheds God's love. So big ups to that, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Before we jump into it as well, you guys are in a play right now. Can we tell your audience about your play?
Yes.
Invite them.
Yes. I'll let the guest of honor start, though.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So we're in this musical called Ragtime. This is the opening musical for the new theater in Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Yeah.
The theater is the Health Center Theater, or the Orem Health Center Theater. They moved it and they renamed it The Ruth. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Hale Theater. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing show. It deals with, you know, three separate groups, you know, white people, immigrants, African Americans, and how their lives kind of intersect in their chase of the American dream.
Absolutely.
My man here, you heard that voice, right? Man, that voice is money. You know, I got to really pump myself up when I get on stage with him, because I'm like, I'm the lead, but whenever he's on stage, everybody's like up to his belly button. And then he doesn't even need a mic when he speaks, it's so big. But he plays Booker T. Washington. And I play Cole House Walker Jr., a fictional character. But it's an amazing story about family, love, about the pursuit of the American dream. And if you come and see it, you will be changed forever. I saw this musical 11 years ago. My dad was in it. Two of my brothers, two of my sisters.
Wow.
I mean, it's an amazing musical, but it definitely moved something within me. I remember seeing that show and like feeling, I wish that I could make somebody feel what I felt. I wish I could do that for somebody. And then here you go, 11 years later, I'm able to play this role.
You got
and
your
it's
chance.
A dream. And shout out to my uncle Ephraim, who was actually able to perform with Brian Stokes Mitchell this show before it hit Broadway. And and so this is it's a special musical to my family. So
that's cool.
Awesome. Oh, that's
you got a personal connection to it as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And when can our audience check you guys out? Like, what days is the musical going on?
It's every day except for Sunday, but you can see us performing together on Saturday nights.
Then
right now, it's only going till February 22nd.
Okay.
But if we get I mean, they might want to extend it to March 6th.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. Date, yeah.
But just a great show with a lot of fantastic performers. But yeah, we're in two different casts, except for on Saturday nights, we're in the same cast. And even if you don't see my cast, you see his cast, his brother, his younger brother is the lead, and he's a phenomenal actor.
Absolutely.
He's so good. We're in rehearsals, and you know, I would do something. He'd be like, man, that was good. I was like, thanks. What do you think? He's like, well, I would do it this way. And I'm like, ooh, I like that way. You know? Yeah. So I had the opportunity to learn from him because he had done the role before. And he's just someone who just uplifts and wants the show to be great. So it's been fun kind of learning from his younger brother.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
So if you get a chance to come out and see us in the show at the new Ruth and Nathan Hale.
Yeah. And they just call it theater. The Ruth.
They call it the Ruth, yeah. But it's in Pleasant Grove now over the doTERRA campus. So if you're around and you know where that is, check us out.
Beautiful. State of the art.
But one of the reasons we wanted to invite you on, especially when it comes to your acting and the roles that you've portrayed. Right now you're playing Cole House on stage. And that role is just something that's changed you forever. Not only seeing it, but now acting in it. We wanted to speak to you about a wonderful project that we love, especially now coming into February, which is Black History Month. And it's the role of Green Flake that you played in the critically acclaimed, award-winning film created, written, and directed by your older brother, Mowgli Bonner. And that movie is His Name is Green Flake. Yep. And you starred in that as Green Flake. So first of all, really quickly, could you tell everybody about the film?
It was a special project because I don't want to tell you too much. You got to bring my brother on. You got to let him really talk about it.
We will. We've already talked to him. We've already talked to him. We need to have him out.
But it was special. You know, our family, we moved around a lot growing up. And so because of that, we've been each other's best friends. And my brother, when he does a project, my mom, when she does a project or a show, when I do things, we are always trying to bring each other in because, first of all, we can depend on each other. We believe in each other's talent, and we like to be together. So I was in the movie. I have sisters that were in the movie, brothers that were in the movie, my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad. We're all in the movie, you know. Affair. So it's really, really neat. Also, our network of people are musicians, are singers. Yeah. So if you look at a lot of leads and you Google them and say, who's this person? You'll see that most of them are singers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
hey, Junior, you know what? We can make this a musical. Might as well make it a musical.
Let's do it.
But it was an amazing experience because this was really my step into acting on film. My brother had a lot of faith in my abilities, and to step in as number one on the call sheet to be Green Flake, I really appreciate my brother giving me that opportunity. And in preparation, you know, he did so much reading, so much studying, and we would talk, and he would download and say, this is what I learned, this is what I found out, this is what I think, you know. And so a lot of my preparation for that role were in conversations with Mowgli. And it was special because the walk of faith as an enslaved person, it not only was it essential, but as a walk of faith, as an enslaved person, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, takes an extra level of faith, because with us knowing the gospel and knowing how good God is, you know, we know what he's capable of doing, you know, with his people. And so I just take my hat off to the early Black pioneers and so many of the saints who had to endure a lot and who stepped out and acted in a way that was not like the norm. And so telling Green Flake's story as Green Flake was special. He's a hero, you know, trailblazed the way for the saints to come west, you know, part of that advancement group that Brigham Young put together. So obviously he was someone that was trusted and a value to the saints at that time.
When I heard that story for the first time, I was like, wait, what? He was the first one that actually came in the valley?
Drove the first wagon.
It's just inspirational because, you know, when we bring light to these stories, it shows that we can do the same, you know, that we can be a pioneer, that we can trailblaze whatever it is, especially even in the church, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's people that are the first members of their family to join the church. And it may be a hard road for them to get through, but you can see other people who've done it before and they can do the same, you know? So it's that story has always had a special chord with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love that. Yeah. I mean, their names are on that monument over at Temple Square with Brigham Young, you know, with his hands outreached. You have, we have a Green Flake, you know, Hark Lay Oscar, you know, these were, you know, Black pioneers who were a part of that group. And so, it's pretty special to learn about them. Unfortunately, I wish I knew about them when I was earlier in my life, but like you said, we can draw strength from them. And, you don't have to be of African descent to draw strength from these people in history. And that's what I love about learning about history. You know, I'm inspired by Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. They don't look like me. They don't, we don't share ancestry, you know, I don't think. But I'm inspired by who they were and what they did. Were they perfect? No. But was God able to use them? I think so.
Most definitely.
For sure.
Absolutely. I love that. Now, when we talk about this film and how heavy it probably got at times, I want to know just kind of, I want to look into the little prism that you have as an actor, especially on film, because I've been able to act with you on stage as we were talking about before. So I kind of have an idea as to what goes into that preparation. And I know that that's a different realm because that's live.
I want you to know, I took it more serious. I mess with him sometimes.
Yeah.
This man is professional. He doesn't break. But I was new in this role as Green Flake, so I was too scared to try
anything like that.
Yeah. Not to mention the shoots were happening so fast. Like, yeah, you got one or two takes. Take it. Let's go. Let's move on.
A time crunch a little bit to get it done.
Yeah.
So what drew you to the role of Green Flake? Once you found out that this was happening and Maoli reaches out to you and says, you know, he wants to entrust you with this role. Now it's on you to kind of figure out what that'll mean. What drew you to the role? What did you want to bring to his story as far as you portraying him?
Gosh, it was pressure, but at the same time, my brother's my hero, you know what I'm saying? And for him to believe in me made me really believe in myself and like, oh, he thinks I can do it. Then I can do this. Mm. You know, my brother, just a little bit about him. I remember, getting ready to graduate college. And, you know, as we said before, me and Chris, we played collegiate basketball and our goal was to play pro. That was our goal. And so, being back then, when you're a Division I athlete, you were broke.
Absolutely.
And I had just gotten married. My wife was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how am I going to even be seen? You know, my coach was moving to Colorado University. Mm-hmm. I was at the University of Northern Colorado, but he was switching. So he was getting a new staff. New staff was coming in. So he didn't have very much time to invest in trying to shop me and get me places. And so I didn't have any money, didn't have very, very many connections. And my brother was like, what do you need? I was like, well, I got invited to this tryout in Raleigh and I need a plane ticket and I need a place to stay and I need money to eat, and boom, paid for it. Wow. You know, hey, how you doing? What do you need? I got invited to another tryout in New York. I don't have any money. Same thing. Boom. Did it for me. You know, when I was starting to do music and, music's expensive.
It is very expensive.
It's expensive, you know? And so recording, then getting it tuned and mixed and mastered, music videos. He gave me money. He helped support my music. So this has been a man who was always, I remember him saying, do you want to write a book? I'll help you write the book. Like, he is an older brother that is always looking for ways to support me and to push me up. And, you know, I felt that from him in this role as Green Flake. And a lot of my emotions and love, my fierce love that I have for my family, I brought that to the role of Green Flake because Green Flake felt the same way. Yeah. He was sold at an early age from his mom. You'll see in the movie that a big motivation for what he's able to do is that promise of eternal families.
Yeah. Mm.
Was absolutely. That promise of being able to be reunited. And I felt that. I mean, we all kind of know, we've heard our aunties and uncles and grandparents speak, you know, of what things were like years ago. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine going to work one day and coming back. And my son's 14. and not seeing my son. Like, wait, what? Yeah. Where's my son? My son is a strong kid. He's a big kid. You know, during the slavery days, he would have been marketable. So there's no guarantee. There's no right that you had to your family.
No.
And he's 2 years older than what Greenflake was. And was there anything that his father could have done? No, not being able to protect his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine sleeping in the bed one night. And next thing you know, your wife's being dragged from the bed and Absolutely. She's being moved. You know, I mean, so these emotions I brought to the role, and I brought the gratitude. I brought the fear. I brought the anger. All the emotions were amplified. Mm-hmm. And so I was so grateful to be able to play that role. And I hope I did a good job. I feel like I had great support from Greenflake's descendants. They're a tight group of people, and they're special people. They invited me and my brother to their family reunion. They do family reunions.
Oh gosh, that's awesome.
And yeah. And they like dubbed us honorary members of their family. And
that's amazing.
It was just so special. And so I just felt like I was lifted up. And supported and loved and never questioned and wait, this guy's never done a movie? Wait, he's been in one play? He wasn't even the main character, like, you know, so I had minimal experience. But I stepped forward in faith, and I feel like it's so many of us, so many people just need an opportunity. And I received that, and I did the work, and it was this role, you know, was something that really changed my trajectory in my life.
Now, I don't want to deviate too much from it, but based off something you said, it makes me want to ask this question, or at least get some of the insight. You know, Black History Month is here, and we're really excited for it because it's a month nationally where we get to focus on some of the pioneers, at least who look like us, and their contributions to not only American history, but world history as well. I love the fact that you stated that you don't necessarily have to be Black to draw off of the inspiration and the accomplishments of Black pioneers, which is big facts, because we all have heroes that aren't Black as well in our own lives, and we could rattle those off as well. But recently, in a lot of the Brothers in the Four-Year podcasts, posts that we've been giving and the episodes that we've been having a little bit of discourse with some of our followers, or maybe just people who have just found our videos and have questions. And it leads me to my next question for you when it comes to what experiences did you draw off of, or what resonated with you between you and Greenflake as a man of faith. But before I have you ask that, how would you respond to someone who's struggling with the troubling past of the Church of Jesus Christ when it comes to pioneers like Greenflake? When you hear a story like, wow, it's amazing what he went through. But for some reason, and reasons that I can understand, people get caught up with Greenflake's beginning. He was an enslaved, and yet he was asked to do this. He was brought in the way he was brought in, and we view him now as a pioneer in the church. However, his beginnings can have people questioning a lot about the church and how that came about or why that was allowed to happen. What is your response when you hear people's questions like that? They're warranted. It is a bit negative. It just is what it is. That's how America was. So it is warranted, but how do you respond to feelings like that?
I mean, every situation varies in the way people communicate, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for those people because they have a heart for people. If you don't look at that and say, that wasn't right. No, that's not okay. You got to be able to do that. You got to be able to have that looking at that moment. But then we also have to look at the history of the world and of God's children. And, you know, I wouldn't say, you know what, Peter and Judas, y'all were walking with the man. You were walking with Jesus. Mm-hmm. He loved you. He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And you denied him? And you turned him in? Oh, this can't be true. Like, what? Right. You witnessed right. these miracles?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so we have to have our faith rooted in Christ, mm-hmm. and Absolutely. Know as God's children, He wants to help us. Mm-hmm. We're entitled to his help. He speaks to his children through the Holy Spirit. So we have to have a conversation like, Father, like, where should I go? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Another thing is, I love how, especially me and you all can relate. Can you imagine if we didn't have the story of the children of Israel? Mm. If we didn't know about those who were enslaved in Egypt?
Right.
We draw so much power and strength from that story. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, yeah. Joseph?
Absolutely.
What his brothers did to him?
Yeah.
You know, and so these are hard stories to tell.
Yeah.
The hard stories to tell. And it's sad. And if you don't look at it and be like, that was wrong, then there's something wrong. So right. I appreciate those people who have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, hey, I can't believe it for you.
Right.
But I can tell you how God has moved in my life. And mm-hmm. I can tell you why I'm here and why I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
God continues to bless me as I do the things that he's laid out for me, as I listen to his prophets and apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm listening to them, and I also know that God is, like I said earlier, God has worked through imperfect people from the beginning.
Absolutely.
They're going to do things imperfectly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not excusing it. I was like, oh, okay, Father, this happened and this was said. It don't feel right in my spirit. You know, this is how I'm going to move. So I make sure that I have that personal relationship.
Absolutely.
With my Father. And it's through Jesus Christ, because we can't know our Father if we don't know his Son.
Absolutely.
And so I would just encourage them to do the things that are going to strengthen their relationship with the Savior, mm-hmm. and to ask if they are really wanting to know. Because some people might make up their mind and say, nope, 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 nope. And it's like, okay, like, please don't walk away from these blessings. Please don't walk away from what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess that's, I would share my personal experiences and how God's touched my life. And then also turn to the scriptures and say, these men called of God, they messed up, you know, but mm-hmm. God was still able to use Peter. You know, I love watching The Chosen.
Mm. Yeah.
You see the humanity in those apostles. Yeah. You see the passion of our Savior.
You do.
You know, mm-hmm. and he has that passion of love for me. You know, sometimes I just talk to myself. I'm just like, man, I'm so blessed. Like, I'm his favorite. I must be his favorite.
I know, right?
Because I'm so blessed, you know. But obviously there's struggle and there's hardship and there's things that we have questions about. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have questions about it and you just go, 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 it's like, you're missing opportunities to strengthen your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing opportunities to have a heart for people who have struggled. Mourn with those that mourn, comfort those that stand in need of comfort. Try to look at that. But you know, those are some of the things that I would share with people. And I would, in the gospel, in these gospel discussions, I try to keep it lovingly. Now, some people might just want to fight, and I'm just like, I can't waste my time.
Some people do just want to fight.
like what?
Some people do just want
to pray for you, but like, what am I giving to you? I should be using that energy and love towards something else, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, some people are just looking to destroy and tear down, and I try not to engage too much in those conversations.
You know? No, I love that.
We can reach those people that love us and that we love them. Those are the most important conversations and those reaches and touches that we can have.
So. No, thank you so much for that, because that's kind of my response as well. It's like, especially for those who come from a Christian background themselves and then want to know why we have chosen this particular faith to walk in, because
a lot of people did some horrible things in the name of Christianity.
They have.
But
they really have.
Christ isn't Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At all. It doesn't at all. And also, part of what draws us to God and builds our faith is the struggle we're placed in.
Mm.
So the Bible is filled with stories of people going through struggle, going through persecution, going through crazy amounts of hardships and keeping their faith centered in God or Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, they receive their reward after they go through the struggle.
Yeah. Whether or we do.
Absolutely.
We're blessed by seeing what they went through.
Absolutely.
A lot of times our struggle isn't even about us.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really so inspired by you watching the hardships that your family's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for your vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
because that's easy to keep that thing private, but you're praising God through the struggle and through the hardship. And it's meant a lot, you know, and I've sent prayers, you know, I'm sending prayers for your family.
Honestly, I felt them. Those are the only, I feel like if I didn't receive prayers, that'd be, I don't know, honestly, how I still sit here.
Oh, that's some so days. Hard.
But yeah, I've learned from them. And it through that process, I've been able to, people have told me that I've inspired them. Mm-hmm. And in return, it's like a reciprocating thing. It just strengthens you as well because you're strengthening someone else. Good. Yeah.
So a lot of times our struggles, even it's not even about us.
Yeah.
It's about the testimony that we gain and can share with others or what people are seeing us. We don't know who's all watching us.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You know.
And it's kind of hard to utter the words, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And then you question the mysterious way. Like you don't know this is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, this has been a prophesied or given to us through lots of scripture that struggle is certain. As you live your life on earth, struggle is certain. The question is, how do you plan to move through it? Mm-hmm. Do you plan to move with God or do you plan to try to find your own way? And as imperfect people, sometimes we try to find our own way. Mm-hmm. And life and God has a way of humbling us and letting us know, you better figure this out and come to me. Yeah. Or it's not going to get too much that I can help you through this, and I'm here, is the message through all of it. And then when you look at this particular struggle in, that we had as people in the church, I just love the fact that there was perseverance, that there was an unshaking faith, that they were guided by the one who could not only bring them through it, but was the one to follow, regardless of your own circumstance. It's not for me to choose my struggle. It's for me to keep my focus on God as I work my way through it. Mm-hmm. And I just love that about it. But I have a question for you as well when it comes to this role, because it just speaks to me in a lot of different ways. So I really want to know what kind of preparation went in when it comes to you connecting with Green Flake. What experiences did you draw from in your own life to relate to his? Mm.
Well, I feel like God has been preparing me, you know, my whole life to be able to do what I did. And, you know, I didn't do it alone. And I feel like certain people were touched that were a part of that mm-hmm. project. And so the turnaround was quick.
Yeah.
Like I'm a teacher. And we had winter break. And Junior was like, okay, let's do it. In 2 weeks, all your shots. So all of my shots I did in the over winter break.
That was 2 weeks. Wow.
Had to fit him in, man.
And I'll let Junior tell you about, but it was just like, wow. I think the relationship that I built with my brother was probably one of the most important preparations.
Okay.
Because it was cold.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable. I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah,
and this is my first movie, and do this. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I don't know how, but I did it, and everything he told me to do, I just did it, and that humility allowed the story to be told, and how my brother saw it, and so I think just, you know, my family relationship specifically with my brother. I mean, every morning before we shot, me and my brothers and sisters, any family member that was on set, we would say a prayer.
Absolutely.
And we would give thanks, and we would pray that we were doing justice to telling these stories. You know, I hope that we did. So if you haven't seen His Name is Green Flake,
please do.
Check it out.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
It's in Deseret Book and Siegel Book. You can go pick it up. But I think everything happened so fast, and I'm thankful too because I didn't have too much time to mull over it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I had a couple lessons with my acting coach that my brother set up, and she was the sweetest, and then we just ran with it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So, what were there any moments? I guess kind of to peel back the curtain, so to speak, as far as being on set with your family members as well as new family members that were a part of the movie as well through friends and other castmates.
Nephew was young Green Flake.
Oh yeah, which is funny. That's right.
Because like he's like he was 16 years old, but the dude was like
Built like built, a house. Yeah, diesel. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm so glad I didn't have any shirtless. it would have been like dangly.
Would have been
like got a little soft on the edge.
Would have been a lot more. Would have been a lot more humble. Been a lot more
shout
humble.
Out to Emmanuel Bay.
Now he's the one running back for Harvard.
No,
that's no, no, no. The that's guy. The okay. That's yeah, the other
that's
one. Okay,
okay. Brother, so the one, yeah. the one that. Plays football at Harvard is Isaiah. So shout Isaiah. Out to Isaiah.
Shout out to Isaiah. We were watching him this year.
If they would have used Isaiah, it wouldn't have worked. Yeah, he's 6'2", 200. Well, actually, at that time, he was smaller, but now he's like 6'2", 240 pounds, like straight muscle.
Goodness mm-hmm. gracious. Wow. So were there any moments during filming that kind of stand out to you that were just memorable as far as going through the process of putting it together?
Yeah. There was a, gosh, I don't want to tell the story, but there was a time when I was reunited with Martha Greenflake's love, you know, he's coming back. And I just feel like we're endowed with so much strength when we are full of love.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of them too really helped carry them. And so I think about my own personal family. I think about, again, the privilege of family. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote that I always bring up, that I am my ancestors' wildest dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that just being here, going home, picking up my kids, you know, being able to provide for my family, being able to protect my family. This is a dream for so many of my ancestors. So I don't take this freedom an opportunity for granted. And I think Absolutely. My experiences with my family are even more sweet because it hasn't always been that way for the Black family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this movie has inspired me in a way to be able to say, yes, trust, yes, have faith, but you don't have to believe everything blindly. You can do your own work. You should do your own work and don't try to explain it away. If you don't know something, don't try to explain it away. Ask questions.
Ask questions.
Read about
Absolutely.
It. If someone has a challenging question, oh, that's a good question. Let me think about that. But I can't dispute what God has put in my heart and told me where I'm supposed to go. You do what God tells you to do, and I definitely got to do what God tells me to do, or else I'm missing out on those blessings, and those blessings affect my wife and my children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So how has playing Greenflake affected your understanding of Black pioneers in the church?
That they were here, you know.
They were here. Oh, first off,
oh Oscar, oh and Hark, and oh my goodness, like the numbers are
growing.
Jane Manning James. There's, you know, there's so many people of color that were here that we're finding.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had Paul Reeves.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. We did.
He's the man.
Oh
he's
my gosh, so good.
And I know he has a building list of Black pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
You know that were here, and I think it's important to recognize that they were here and that they helped. Settle this state.
Yeah.
You know, so it especially with it being, you know, Black History Month. I mean, it's Black History Month every month in our house, you know. But
straight up. Absolutely.
But it's definitely an opportunity and reminder to remember those who have passed and their contributions to our lives and the lives of America, you know. And so during Black History Month, I take the time, as many of you do, to highlight different people in American history and Black pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm inspired and I'm learning and I'm grateful. And I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, this history is so hard. It's hard. I don't want to talk about it, or I don't want to feel this. Like, don't get down in the dumps. Don't feel horrible. Feel inspired. Yeah. Because we're here now.
We're here now.
We're here now. What can we do with this? We're supposed to learn from those who came before us. And those who came before us expect us to do better.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so be inspired, be encouraged. And if you felt one way last year, hopefully you feel a bit different as it goes forward.
As it goes forward. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whatever that is. But hopefully there is growth. And it's okay to say, you know what? I used to think this way. I used to feel this way. And now I feel a whole nother way. And that's okay. I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I said it. Now I got to stand by it. You know, and that's not the way. We've got to be humble and we've got to look to be better and we've got to look to bring each other in. And it takes all of us, you know, all kinds. All of us.
All kinds.
It really does.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like that's our hope, man, for us brothers on this podcast, for our audience. The messages that we get out is that as we highlight, you know, Black figures, that we're not just wanting to stir up the history behind it, but we want people to draw from that inspiration and become mm-hmm. more united mm-hmm. in our efforts to just be not only one in Christ, but just one in humanity.
We got to know the history. Like, yeah. How do you expect us not to? What?
Yes. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, so many people shy away, you know, from wanting to talk mm-hmm. about it because of the uncomfort or the bad history. But like you mentioned, it's all about learning from it and growing and progressing, you know, and being inspired by, oh, this happened. Well, I may not know all the reasons by why it happened, but I can learn from that situation and I can grow from it and then treat the next person accordingly mm-hmm. better, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and we can't shy away from those conversations, because if you don't have those conversations, I mean, I've realized that, how do I know what I think until I hear what I say? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've said things that I'm just like, oh, I didn't like that. That's not right. Now I feel differently because I heard what I said and that's how I felt. But once I hear myself say it, or so I hear somebody else say something, oh, that's a good point. Man, this has been a hard conversation, but it's been helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know for me, especially in 2020, man, I lost so many friends, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, many of them, it's probably best that we're not friends, but some of them, they just wanted to know. They just were curious, and this is what I'm seeing, and this way, well, let's figure this out together. So hold on to those friends who feel differently, who challenge your way mm-hmm. of thinking. You know, don't yeah. not so much that it disrupts your peace. I mean, and it will sometimes, but you know, people that are just having civil conversation and challenge your way of thinking is going to make you better. It's going to make them better. It's going to open your mind to other children of God. And I think, like you say, people shy away. Don't shy away from that. Lean in. Yep. Ask questions. Try to understand. And then strive to see them as Christ sees them. Mm-hmm. I really don't like arguing. I really don't like fighting. When me and a friend have like a hardship, I try to fix it. And when I can't, it's just, it's hard. It hurts my heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I hate that about me. But then at the same time, I don't. Because I'm supposed to love. This is what I'm supposed to do. So that pain only makes the great relationships sweeter.
Mm, absolutely.
You said about people when they ask questions and they learn and it helps them learn more. It made me think of this quote that goes, the what informs, but the why transforms. Ooh. And so when we understand what's going on, but when we ask why, that's when we change. That's when our thought processes change. We look at things differently mm-hmm. and that's where the growth happens. We have healthy dialogue. We learn more from each other and we all grow together and we eventually become one, you know, mm-hmm. that's the end goal.
Yeah,
you can definitely feel in the conversation where a friend is trying to be a friend and trying to gain knowledge versus maybe just trying to, not necessarily trying to argue, but is unwilling to see your side. Mm-hmm. And I think just piggybacking off of what you said, in 2020, I lost a lot of, I won't say I lost a lot of friends because I lost them through social media. These weren't people yeah. that I actually still physically spoke with and like spent time with. But I lost a lot of social media friends that I thought were my friends through life. And when I think back on it, the divide was not anything profound. It was really just the unwillingness to hear me. Mm. I think that's what just incited a little bit of the hurt and the pain and the anger that I was feeling, which would cause me to, you know, to just kind of mm-hmm. get them out of my life, because I don't want to just live hating people. Mm-hmm. You know, no one, I think, besides maybe a few outliers, wants to live their life just hating others. Mm-hmm. So you make the hard decision to just kind of cut them from your life so that you could preserve your own peace. But when you really strive to be like Jesus Christ and you really strive to love one another despite your differences, it can allow you to open your heart and mind enough to have empathy and to want to just hear what the other person is saying. And that's not just, you know, we want white people to hear us as black people, but as black people, we need to hear them as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own struggles and hardships that they're going through. And one of their hardships might be loving this church and this gospel so much, and then now through this age of information, they're starting to see flaws in their church that they didn't know were there. Mm-hmm. As Black people, we can get hung up on the fact that they didn't know, call them ignorant, and be real indifferent to them as well.
Remember the
but
times,
we don't want to do
what
that.
What you mean you didn't know?
Right, absolutely.
You didn't want to know. Because we know. I mean, we've been here. We walked down the hallways of our elementary schools and saw all the white leaders and all the stories yeah. of the heroes of nobody looks at us. We knew, like, yeah. oh, this is interesting, but okay. I know there's Black people that I know
Somebody
we help in this
there.
Country. My parents taught me, but they didn't teach you guys. Okay, we knew.
Right.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. to look at it from their perspective, that's huge. Like,
yeah.
this is jarring and rocking their whole world when we grew up knowing that.
We did.
No, this, mm-hmm. this happened in our country. This mm-hmm. this is still happening. This happened to me at the grocery store the other day, you know. Mm. But it's new to them, so it's Absolutely. Jarring. So yeah. some of them don't want
to
see it. So
when you grow up in that prism, you don't see those
to
things.
To look at that and yeah. have just to strive to give them grace. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Even though you're the one being called the words,
yeah.
cutting you off and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But
so know. That was hard there. But just to kind of wrap up, I guess, with this particular project that we definitely want you all to check out if you have not. His name was Green Flake. It's an amazing, amazing film. And as we send people to this who haven't yet seen it or people who may watch it again, what do you want them to get out of the film itself?
Be inspired. Let the film make you make a change, whether it's finding out more information about history or it causes you to dig deeper in that relationship with the Savior to get answers from our Father about why he allows certain things to happen. I think it's important for us to have conversations. I want you to have conversations with your family about the movie. I want you to have conversations with your friends about the movie. Hear what you say. Try to figure out how you feel and why you feel that way. And then get varying opinions and perspectives about it. But also know that God works. He works through people who are imperfect. I'm imperfect, and to know that God could still use me, it's amazing. It's humbling. I want to tell a quick story about my mom teaching my son Malachi voice lessons. On Sundays, we go over to their house, and she'll teach all the grandkids. And he did not like to sing or want to sing. And he mumbled through his song. And then after, my mom goes up and puts her hands on the sides of his face and looks at him and says, Malachi, you're great. You know that? You know you're great? He says, yes, Grandma. Do you know why you're great? Why? She says, because I'm great. And you come from me, you know. And I just thought, wow, that is amazing. Because my mom, she's legendary. Shout out to Deborah Bonner, mom.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But then I think about my heavenly parents. They're the yeah. greatest. We come from them. We have that greatness within us. So know that you're great, and that as our Father is watching us as His children, as little babies walking and crawling, we're falling.
All the time.
And he knew that we would fall, but he's still like, get up, walk again. You fell again, get up, walk
again. Try it again.
He's cheering us on through our hardships, through our struggles, through our mistakes, all of our mistakes. He's still smiling and loves us and believes in us that we can get up and walk again. So if you've said things in the past, if you've done things, if you've believed a certain way, if you've denied certain conversations because it makes you uncomfortable, get up and walk again. Be encouraged. Be better.
I love that. I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. So you are an amazing person, and we've already given your flowers. Especially,
this is amazing. I'm sorry, me and this guy, we are always clowning each other. So to be
all the time,
here and to
all
hear
the
all the compliments from you, like, most of the time we're just capping on each other.
Yeah, in my head, I'm like flowers, flowers.
We got this. We got this.
Now's not the time. Now's not the time.
I'm gonna cut this.
But they're gonna turn the cameras off in a second, and it's gonna be right back to it. But no, really, you guys are amazing, and I want to say just from my perspective. You know, we were both basketball players. I pursued professional basketball as best I could for as long as I could. Then I started coaching it. Basketball was all that I really felt that I could connect with. I knew that I had a gift for teaching. And the one thing I loved to teach was basketball. Getting young people to just see that they could do things they didn't think they could. Show them how. And then as the light bulbs turn on and you see their eyes brighten up, that was fulfilling to me. Like, oh, you're getting it. And you're building yourself and you're building confidence in yourself, not just on the court, but as you do that, you build confidence in what you can do off the court as well, because you've seen yourself go through hard things, press through those hard things, and become better because of it. You are a pioneer for me. Now that I've shifted from basketball and become a performer and a recording artist as well in the gospel sector, I'm a gospel singer, a Christian singer who comes from the niche, we'll say, of the LDS church. I sing about Jesus Christ, and I sing about the love our Heavenly Father has for everyone, because I want everyone to know that. You and your family were the blueprint for me, because you're the first Black artist that I know of to come from an LDS background and to be able to succeed in the way that you guys have in putting wonderful music out there for any and everybody to not only hear, but to develop a relationship with God through. So to me, you guys are the first. You're the first, and I'm following you. I'm trying to follow that blueprint. I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to do it in my own way, but I'm following your example. So you guys, especially you, are pioneers in that regard. You're very busy. You've got lots going on, like the play that we're in now and other things coming up. I want to know what you have coming in 2025, because I want us all to not only follow that journey, but to be there to support you along the way. So what projects do you have coming up in 2025 that we need to look out for, that we can support you through, and all of that?
Thank you. Well, appreciate it. And, you know, watching you and your brother and your family sing together, mm-hmm. that's inspiring to us too.
Just oh, that's so awesome.
You know, and we recognize that greatness within your family. Mm-hmm. So 2025, well, in the future, I mean, I'm not exactly sure when we're filming. Or actually, I do. I just can't tell you. my brother's doing another project
to
highlight other Black pioneers.
Yes.
And this next one is Elijah Abel. And this one's going to be exciting.
Awesome.
So I'll reprise again as Green Flake. And then there'll be other Black pioneers that will be also featured in this project. So that's happening. Obviously, the Bond family's doing more music. I know you guys are really excited about our relationship with the Chiefs, you know. That was something that was really cool. This last year we got to sing at the halftime show of the Chiefs Black Friday game, and then we sang the national anthem, and then we sang at the event for the Giving Machines.
Yes.
Which was really great. For those of you that don't know, the Giving Machines is something that comes out around the Christmas season, where people can go and purchase things for their brothers and sisters across the world, all of God's children, you know, whether it be eggs, goats, a knitting kit, fruit trees. And it actually gets there. I actually went on a trip and was able to hand a fruit trees to these people.
Wow.
From people who had bought those.
Wow. You know?
That's awesome. Yeah.
But you know, hoping to do more national anthems for professional games. Bond family's doing more praise music and remakes of hymns in our style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so those are just a couple of things that, you know, that we're working on.
That's awesome. So, man, I'm excited for the new project, the new film.
Mm-hmm. Also, my brother Conlon, he has all the big notes in a lot of our songs.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, he and his family are in Australia. Sydney, Australia. He's playing Tito in Michael Jackson the musical, and his son Will is playing little Mike.
Young Mike. Oh, young Mike.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to taking on his solos. So thank you, Conlon.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the opportunity. I miss you. Love you, bro.
Look at God. Look at God. Look how he works. Man.
But thanks for asking. Thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you for your friendship. Love you guys. Yeah, and,
absolutely.
Let's have lunch again.
Oh, we got to do that. We got to do that.
We still need our black and white night. I'm not going to
let that go. Yes, we do. We do. We need our black and white.
Black and white night is just where we came up with this idea to have all of our brothers. You don't have to be black, but have our families have a temple night. Everybody just go.
Absolutely.
Many brothers as we can to get to go to the temple together.
Yeah.
Right.
Change the narrative. Get some more brothers in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. That reminds me of one question that I definitely want to ask while we still have a couple minutes. How do you balance your work and home life? How do you balance your work and home life as everything that you are, all the many hats that you have? How do you balance all of that?
I'm so glad you asked me that.
How?
I'm so
how?
Grateful.
Show me your ways.
Vanessa.
I got to do this.
Vanessa. That's my wife. That's my queen. Mm-hmm. She says yes. And then she gives me my pep talks. Even this morning, she was kind of half asleep, but I was going, hey, be great. Put on deodorant. Brush your teeth.
Come on,
I'm not your
babe.
Kid.
Come
on, babe. Thank you, because I forgot. Right. But she helps filter all my emails. She's like, she works. She has her full-time job. Last year, she was caseworker of the year.
Yes.
She's a social worker. And then she just takes care of our family. And then she sifts through all my emails and my auditions and my bookings, and she says, hey, you got to be here at this time. You got this at this time. You know, and so she's such a great support. If she didn't support me, and it's like I couldn't do any of it because I would miss things, and I would have an unhappy wife when I came home. But she allows me to do those things and also schedules time for us to do our family things.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so shout out to my wife, Vanessa. She's
awesome.
I mean, you know what sacrifice is. Shout out to Kay.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, guys, Chris, you're doing the same thing I'm
absolutely.
Doing. And so we're gone a lot, and we help.
We're gone a lot.
And, you know, where and when we can, they make sure we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But just the support and the love and the belief, man, that she believes in her man just puffs me up.
Yeah. 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 It gives you that boost right there. Yeah.
So I say, you know, Vanessa, and also just I say, Father, I want to do these things. This is what I want to do. If it's a way for me to do it, please make a way. I'm going to take this step of faith. And then if the door shuts, then I guess that wasn't the way. And that wasn't supposed to do that.
I love that. Thank you so much. Well, shoot. Thank you so much for joining us today. Yahosh, we have already given you flowers and we'll continue to give you flowers. Again, to our audience, if you haven't checked out the film, his name was Green Flake, you need to go check it out immediately because it's life-changing. It's inspiring. It tells stories about enslaved people that you probably have never heard. For those who are members of the church, it gives you a look into our history that you may not have heard or seen or realized. And for those that aren't, it's just another uplifting story of perseverance, another uplifting story of gratitude, another uplifting story of God's love and his strength that he endows us with. So please go check it out. Green Flake is portrayed by this wonderful brother right here, Yahosh Bonner, written by his older, also amazing brother, Maoli Bonner. And we definitely want you guys to go support that as well. But again, thank you for tuning in to Brothers in the Foyer podcast. My name is Crispin, here with Andrew, Isaiah, our wonderful guest, Yahosh. And again, like, subscribe, share, follow, and keep rocking with us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Inviting all to come and try.